All right, we are live.
Ooh.
And I had already pressed the recording button before I said we are live, so that did actually get picked up in the recording. You're welcome, Chris.
Yay.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to Circulus, a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting. I will be your host for the evening. I am Crash the DM. My preferred pronouns are he, him, and pincushion for a cat. There's a story behind that. Mostly involved driving a cat for 4 hours to bring it home after vacation. However, this is a fantastic event. If you want a flashback to what happened in our previous session, check out the last audio recording that I uploaded to both twitch.tv/thearchiveplays and aaronbsmith.com/cogwheel, because that goes over it in more detail than I'm going to do here. In a nutshell, there is incredibly bad, unseasonably winter weather that is turning the entire city into difficult terrain. The party wisely decided to split up to go to two separate locations. And in both cases, they have encountered a somewhat largish green dragon. Two separate green dragons. Two for the price of one, in fact. So this is fantastic. I look forward to this every Saturday. This is the highlight of my week. It's a shame the highlight of my week is the last day of the week, but who cares? I am joined by a group of fantastic people. We've got Chris, we've got Tom, we've got Logan, we've got Jen, we've got Eric, and we will have Matt eventually. I believe the word that he used, and I quote, is... soon.
Yeah.
He did not, in fact, use a trademark symbol, which means you are free to copy this as much as you want, because he does not have to enforce the copyright or enforce the trademark or lose it. So he's good there. All right, so we are going to start the session by saying roll for initiative.
Yay!
All right, here we go.
And I will roll for Ari.
I have rolled an 11.
Rolled a 19.
So Obeim rolls an 8.
I stopped the one streak.
Woohoo!
So hold on. Hold on, because I'm not going to remember this if you're all calling it out. So let's just go through. Fenix, what was your total?
19.
Good.
19. Galen.
I forgot what I rolled. 13.
13. With all of your dex bonuses, it was a 13?
Wrong character.
I thought bards were finesse characters too, but whatever.
Only have a +1 to dex.
Hmm?
Okay, Meepo, what was yours?
11.
11. Was that with or without your dex bonus?
Without.
Okay, so you got a
12. It's a +1, 12, yes.
Yes. For the record, Jen is not feeling very well, so we are helping her with the math when we need to. She still ends up being MVP more times than we expect. With cantrips. With cantrips, even.
Yes.
Cantrips.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Meros.
6.
We're gonna die.
Well, that's great, because he's got a healing spell, so he can throw that out there after the rest of the party has taken lethal damage. Obeim.
Obeim is an 8.
And Agum.
3.
We're gonna die.
I love this game so much.
This is on the new dice too.
Oh my
god.
Oh
no.
Just no.
Destroy them out. Just get rid of them. Burn them.
So let me rearrange some things here so I can keep you in the correct order. Standing by. For the record, Agum did not get the lowest roll.
Please tell me it was both the dragons.
Why would it be both the dragons? Remember, we ended the last session when I said the dragons breathe.
Oh, yeah.
They started combat.
Yeah.
So, guess what? Everyone, make a DC 14 Constitution saving throw.
Okay.
Does the dragon's breath count as a magical effect?
Nope.
Okay. I got a 14.
17. Then you make it. Ties. Woo!
And I got a 17.
Constitution, 14 for Obam.
You make it. Anything 14 or above makes it. Oh, and remember, those of you who went to the airstrip, you are next to Fenix, and therefore you get a plus 5 to your roll. I think it's a plus
22.
5.
22. 30 for Agam.
What?
Does 30 make it?
Just barely. You squeak by.
Okay.
Does 37 make it?
I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you this time.
I'm mapping. Was that a 17?
16.
16 makes it. Is there anyone who got below a 14? Let's put it that way.
No.
So you all make it. This is fantastic news. So it means
half
you...
12d6.
What's that?
It's half 12d6 damage.
Someone looked up the stats for young green dragons.
Did I guess that right?
I kept saying they were large. They were large. So you looked up green dragons and looked for large. Thank you for metagaming. Just for that. You are taking 21 points of damage, young man.
Oh, no.
I didn't metagame.
Poison damage. Poison.
I guessed that.
Okay, what group is this taking that damage? Both of them or just the one?
Yeah, both dragons breathe.
Okay.
Oh, I should roll for Keltander. Oh, Keltander got a natural 20.
Are you rolling for Ari?
I rolled for Ari, and he also made his save.
Ah, good.
I should probably put that damage in there for him, then.
I genuinely can't believe I guessed that correctly.
I can. You are not a bad DM. You know your monsters, you know your stats pretty well, and when you don't, you know where to look.
But I didn't
I'm a little look. Upset that you metagamed, but still.
I didn't look.
Okay. So you are in the midst of what you refer to as the worst vaping experience you have ever encountered.
You haven't been to the bar I go to.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
If you are taking 21 points of damage in real life after making your save, that is a pretty bad bar.
Again, haven't been there.
And I won't go there because I'm not a bar person. But that was...
So wait, we're...
Sorry?
We're taking damage... With
you,
the save?
You all took 21 points of damage.
Okay,
so
let me
go over to your character sheet. You type in 21 and then press the damage button, and it does the math for you.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's all nice. All right,
I have caught up.
Obam has resistance to poison.
That means, I think...
Half set again. So it'll be 21 half.
Rounding down, so you take 10. Unless otherwise stated, you always round down when things are halved.
Kick it. We're good.
Do I have... No, I have an affinity to poison, or so saith the character sheet.
What does
if
that
that's
mean?
That's right. I don't know. It says elemental affinity to poison. It has to do with casting a spell. So I did not cast Dragon Breath, so never mind.
Okay. We had a whole week to look that up, and we're looking it up during combat this week.
Well, it didn't occur to me until now. I was busy with a different kobold character sheet, so...
It occurred to me, but I was behind the wheel, driving mm-hmm. from Pennsylvania to Maryland, so I wasn't in a position to look it up.
And, fair enough.
And asking my phone to look things up works very well, except for, like, D&D stats while driving.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. And don't forget, you have a point of inspiration, so it wouldn't help that much now because you made your save anyway. But if you make a bad roll and you are using a d20 for it, you are allowed to use that point to roll again.
Okay.
So you do have that option. All right. So next up in this combat is going to be Fenix. Fenix, there is a large dragon in front of you who insists on violating the Clean Air Act. What would you like to do?
My breath weapon would not work on this, I'm guessing.
Why not? You are a golden dragonborn. You breathe fire. This is a green dragon that breathes poison. It is strong against poison attacks, but that's not what you breathe.
I'll breathe fire at it. Yeah, I'll shoot.
Oh, I love when this happens because then we go, wait, what are we supposed to roll again for this? And what's the saving throw? And I don't know anymore. So let's take a look here. Breath weapon as an action. Oh, I love the new setup. It has the save right in here. It didn't have that last time. So this dragon has to roll a DC 13 dex save. And for your level, you are level 7, which means you are going to roll 3d6 damage.
Ooh.
Yes, it's gone up. It went up when you hit 6th.
Nice.
So let me roll for this. And, oh, it's going to make the save, so it's going to take half damage, but you're still going to hit it. So how much damage are you doing?
18.
You rolled,
yes,
you rolled 3 sixes.
Yes, I
oh,
just rolled 3
wonderful.
Sixes.
Well, oh. It's going to take
well,
9.
Well, it's something.
It's going to take 9, but that's with the save made, that is the most damage you could have done to this. So this is
good. A good chunk of damage.
This has like a weird curse, this dice.
Fire, it goes poison, breath, and then he retaliates with fire breath. That's awesome.
Yeah, so this dragon just jumps in front of you, breathes on all of you, and Fenix is like, oh, isn't that cute? I can do that too. And then reciprocates. He's just like, bless your heart. All right. So next up is going to be, in this wonderful list of characters, Galen.
Oh, right. Okay. As a bonus action, I would like to inspire Meros.
Thank you.
And then I will do a third level Guiding Bolt.
Third level. All right. Give me a 2-hit roll.
Oh, that's definitely going to hit. It's a 17 plus 6 is a lot. 23.
You are now fighting a Glitter Dragon.
Glitter Dragon! And also I do 66 damage.
Is that thunder?
10, 15, 20, 23 points of radiant damage.
Ouch! This is supposed to assist other characters, not take it out by itself. All right. So it has been duly glitter bombed. And Meros is feeling inspired. You played a happy little tune. Meros was picking up what you were putting down.
I didn't do a happy little tune. I did a your mama joke.
Oh.
That inspired him.
Okay. I don't know how Meros feels about your mama jokes.
That's a D8, by the way, from me.
Okay. Next up will be Meepo.
Okay. So I have a green dragon that just breathed poison.
Yeah, it is up on the roof of this building. It hasn't jumped down yet.
How far away is it?
This is a 3-story building, so I would say about 30 feet.
Okay. So I want to yell at the dragon. I'm going to yell, Dragon, why are you fighting us? Are we not friends? There are kobolds here. We are kind of like you. Maybe we can talk. What do you want? No response from the dragon?
It looks at you,
uh-huh,
and sort of turns its head sideways like a predator trying to size up prey that's doing something unusual.
Which she is. Okay.
I don't bargain with food.
Well, who do you bargain with? Maybe we can find that person. We don't have to go to war over this. Oh. Whatever it is.
Make a persuasion check.
Awesome. Okay. I've got a 10 and persuasion has plus 3.
Here's the deal. Get in my belly and you'll have a quick, painful death.
Okay, I'm casting Lightning Bolt.
You light up the nighttime sky. Give me an attack.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Actually, no. Is Lightning Bolt an attack roll or is that...
No, it's a dex save.
It's a dex save. Oh. All right.
Okay, I'm casting Lightning Bolt.
Well, see, that's not a save. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Okay.
That is a nat 1.
Oh, well. Okay,
yeah, so
it's...
You are lighting up the night sky. Give me some... What's the damage for that?
It's a third level spell, or at least that's what I'm going to cast it as. And it's 1d4 plus 1? No, that's Magic Missile.
Oh, no,
it's 8d6.
Okay, so... Here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Roll a d6 8 times, and we'll add it up.
Okay. So I have 4 dice. So. Okay, I got a 1, a 3, a 2, and a 1.
Okay,
and the next 4. A 6, a 4, a 2, and a 4.
So the first set of rolls was...
16 plus 7 is... 16
plus 7 would be 23.
23 points of damage.
There we go.
So you shoot 23 points of damage up at this dragon, and mm-hmm. it is nighttime. The conditions are not the best.
Okay.
But it is dark outside. And when this lightning strike hits the dragon, you see every bone of its body illuminated.
Nice.
Like you could, if you took a photograph of, if cameras existed, you could take a photograph of this and use it in lieu of an X-ray. The only reason this method is not used in modern hospitals is because doing 23 points of lightning damage to the subject will usually kill them.
Hmm.
So let me mark off 23 points of lightning damage there.
Okay, and I want to yell back at the dragon, I tried talking to you.
Yeah, this is clearly the dragon's fault that you hit it with lightning.
Exactly.
Well, I, as the DM, agree with you. Mm-hmm. The dragon, however, might have a slightly different opinion.
Oh, of course.
So there may be words
okay,
that are
sure.
spoken afterwards. Oh, Bane, sure. It is your turn.
We're going to go ahead and guiding bolt.
As one does. Give me an attack roll.
19.
A 19 will hit. We now have two glitter-bombed young green dragons. What's the damage?
Not good. 13. 19 points of damage.
Still not too shabby, and the next attack against it will be at advantage. So, not doing too bad. Switch over to the airstrip, and we have Maros. You've been inspired by Galen.
Okay.
So and we've got Matt in the channel. Matt, I have rolled for initiative for you. I will tell you when it's your turn.
Okay. So the dragon I'm looking at.
Yeah.
No, where is he?
Oh, it's right in front of you. The whole party that went to the airstrip is together. Because
right.
You're all within range of Fenix's aura.
Right. But is he like near an edge? Is he standing? I mean, middle of the city. Like, I want to kind of get an idea where he's at.
You're on the airstrip itself, but you're not up near the edge due to the icy conditions and the fact that it is possible to go over the edge in this particular area.
Is he near the edge though? That he could be pushed off? Okay,
just
wanted to ask before I tried something. Okay,
well, perhaps with the icy conditions, it would be possible for it to slide far enough. But a combination of the fact that it is much larger than you, so it would require a lot of shoving, and the fact that it has wings, Maros, the character, doesn't necessarily think that this is something that would be a long-term solution.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I was just curious. Okay. He's going to step towards the dragon and just kind of point a sword right at its face like he's calling a shot. And he's going to flex his arms.
We got Babe Ruth here.
Get out of here before we have to kick your butt. And he's going to cast Vicious Mockery on it.
I like this.
2d4. Okay. 3 damage.
Well, what's the other thing that Vicious Mockery does?
Dragon needs to make a wisdom save.
Yeah, he has to make a wisdom save. 13.
All right. Huh. It fails.
So it takes a whole 3 damage.
3 damage it is.
All right. But he's considering tanking this thing along with FedEx. So he'd be the off tank, though. Obviously.
If any ads show up, you're the one that
I'll take
split
the ads.
Away, and you're going to kite them around the airstrip while DPS focuses on... they would have to focus on... The main boss for the first phase, but then switch to the second phase.
As a point, the dragon also has a disadvantage on a snake's attack.
Yeah. Am I allowed to add that inspiration to my damage roll, or how does that work?
Attack saves and checks, but
okay, I'll save it then. That's fine.
And anything that you do a d24.
Okay, just checking. All right.
Yeah. There might be exceptions, but I can't think of any right now.
Galen's the wrong type of bard for that.
I'm a lore bard.
Yep.
All right.
If you were a valor bard, I think you could do that.
So, Ari, the wisps of poison that you were unfortunately inhaling earlier, which is why you're down to 29 hit points.
See that.
Yeah. Yeah, you did make your save, which is why you're only down to 29.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Well, you're not feeling this, but your protege did give you a detailed view of the inner workings of this dragon with a lightning bolt. So there is that consolation prize. And it is your turn to show up your protege. And if you do an attack roll spell, you will have advantage because this dragon is extra sparkly at this point.
Oh, I like that idea. And the dragon has suffered some minor damage already from Meepo's lightning bolt, I gather.
We could argue that it's minor damage, yes.
I don't know what she rolled, but hey. All right.
Wait, so both dragons are sparkly?
Yeah, yep. Because we have someone on both sides that cast Guiding Bolt.
Woo, go up in.
All right.
I think I put damage on the wrong dragon. Oops.
Oh, this is a green dragon, correct?
It is a green dragon.
Okay.
And you got enough information from Vex after you fought the ancient green, it feels like forever ago, that you know green dragons are strong against poison.
Yeah. I don't have too many spells that do that, so I'm not overly worried about that. But I think what we'll do is we'll see if we can one-up Meepo on damage. he is far enough away that a lightning bolt should do well. So he will have to make a... let's see. Jump over here. DC 16, deck save.
DC 16. Let's take a look at this.
Yep. My proficiency, my saves got a little tougher when I leveled up.
You know, dexterity is one of this dragon's strong points, but rolling high is apparently not my strong point tonight.
All right.
So he fails that.
Awesome. All right. What do we got here? We got... Sorry. Back my math up. 10, 11, 12, plus another 10 is 22, 24, 30. I knew I was missing something somewhere.
So, this dragon is not feeling this encounter. Or rather, it's feeling too much of it.
Yeah.
It has, one could argue, it has some regrets.
It has made a poor life choice.
Yes. All right, and next up is going to be... Agum.
19.
You do hit.
4.
Okay. And you do get a second attack. I believe you do. You're a barbarian.
I do. 18.
That will hit.
13.
Noted. All right. So here's what happens next. I'm going to start with Mayor Keltander. He throws his lance at the green dragon because it's still up there. The one that the people who didn't leave to go to the airstrip are fighting, it's still hanging out 30 feet in the air on top of this building. So there's not a whole lot that a melee fighter can do, but he's got a lance, so he throws it. Oh, poor Mayor, he's having a bad, bad day. 2 is his magic number. He throws the lance, it goes wide, it goes through a window. He winces a bit at the sound of broken glass. We'll have to take care of that later. The two guardsmen that were also in front of the building that you were arguing with during the last session, they do have some crossbows that they shoot up at the dragon. That is close, but no cigar. That's a hit. Okay, so it does take a crossbow bolt. Okay, so that's what happens in your neck of the woods. Over on the airstrip... So here's what happens. This dragon reaches its head up and roars at you and looks like it's about ready to charge forward and get into the thick of this with teeth and claw, because why not? And then suddenly, out of apparently nowhere, because visibility is pretty low here, what looks like a giant crowbar hits this thing upside the head. And by giant crowbar, I mean a crowbar wielded by a giant. So here we go with attack number two. Oh, that hits more. That hits a lot more. I got to make sure to damage the right one.
Oh, you know what?
Okay, this thing is bloodied, and it's sort of shaking its head violently, while this huge humanoid has joined the fray. It is next to this dragon. One could argue that it's in the same space as the dragon with how close they are together, but not quite. And this giant is having none of this. It is about to have a get-off-my-plane moment with this particular dragon. But the dragon is still moving. It's still up and moving. And it is now the dragon's turn. So let's roll to see if their breath weapons renew. Huh. Okay. Dragon number one, which I'm going to say is the dragon that's on top of the building, leaps down and attempts to parlay with Meepo. And by parlay, I mean eat.
Okay.
Well, you have a rapport with this dragon.
Yeah, we'll attempt to deal with you first.
They're just guidelines anyway. So.
Yeah, you know.
I love this group so much.
Can I cast shield?
Well, let's see if it hits you.
Shield's okay. A reaction, so yeah, you can do it if it maybe hits.
All right, then that's the plan.
What's your AC?
14.
It tries to bite you, and I'm going to argue that it misses because you're so small. So it comes down, and the teeth clamp together, and you can smell its breath, and you see the poison dripping off between the gaps in its teeth. It doesn't floss as well as it should. you can see some tartar issues building up. It will probably lose a few of those teeth in the near future if it doesn't step up its dental game. But you instinctively duck a little bit, and the teeth just snap closed like inches above you. It just narrowly misses your hat, which would have been catastrophic if it had damaged your rainbow hat.
Yes, absolutely. I make a face at the dragon, like, nee.
It does not see this face because...
Of course not. Up on its head. Of course not.
But it also does try to take a claw attack on the mayor.
Shield. Oh, I can't cast shield on him?
No.
You can't cast shield on him.
Yeah.
That is... Where's his AC? I have a cat aggro. I thought maybe he'd be mad at me for leaving him at my parents' house for about 10 days, but no, he missed me immensely and wants to make up for it.
Aww.
Yes, he's adorable. All right, so, yeah, that's a hit. So the mayor's going to take some damage again. Noted. And it does another claw attack on the mayor. That hits more. And that's also noted. All right, the other dragon uses its breath weapon again. It breathes directly into the face of this cloud giant, who makes his save, but one could argue that he's just had an exfoliating experience. The poison has revealed skin's freshest layer. Let me mark off that damage. That's lovely. And now we are up to Fenix's turn.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to... attack it.
Now, this attack will not be at advantage because the cloud giant used the advantage roll. It was the next melee attack, and that was from the cloud giant.
Alright, I'm going to one time, and that is... There's a 28 do the trick?
You just narrowly hit it. Like, you managed to clip a toenail. Just barely. You split in. You broke a nail, and everyone knows how painful that is. It's gone up to the quick of the nail. That feels bad. Roll some damage.
Fifteen
damage.
And I will use Branding Smite.
Because of course you will.
11 damage.
Noted.
Radiant.
All right. It looks like... Sorry?
After that, I'll attack it a second time.
One good swing deserves another.
Yep. 20.
You hit again?
16 damage.
How do you want to do this?
Just pierce straight through the chest.
All right. So stab through the heart, and you're to blame. So you take your longsword. You just sort of go right into the meat of it. Slides right between the scales. If this was Smog, you found the one spot where there was a missing scale. And you go deep right in there, and it sort of twitches and seizes up. Give me a dex save.
17.
Okay, so you are able to slide backwards just as this thing, and pull your sword out just as this thing collapses down, dead as a doornail.
Ouch.
In the background, you hear a gnome bard, because there are other gnomes that are out here on the airstrip, just, you know, playing a tune to inspire somebody else, but the tune is da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And someone slaps him upside the head and says, "We're going to get sued if you do that."
God.
That's not right.
Wow.
I'm the DM. All right.
And you are awesome.
All right. And next up will be Galen. You are still in initiative. Galen, you there? Galen, you are muted.
I muted myself. So the dragon that we were fighting is dead, yes?
Yes. That dragon that you were fighting, that particular dragon is currently an ex-dragon.
I'm looking around to see if there's anything else in this vicinity before we move on.
Give me a perception check.
Natural 20, 20.
You see everything. On almost the other side of the world, you see small children playing on the beach outside Adrolanka. You see a butterfly flying over the jungle. A malicious butterfly that is doing its best to create a hurricane. And you see from the air movements that it will actually succeed. There will be a hurricane going towards civilization, and destruction will be immense and terrible. More locally, you see several other green dragons. Not all of them are the exact same size as the one that you have just slain.
Any bigger?
You don't see any that are particularly larger than the one you just slew. And most, if not all, of these dragons are currently involved in combat. There are a lot of gnomes on this airstrip. Some of them are in the grounded vehicles, the various planes and cloud clippers and whatever vocabulary they've used to describe these things. There's more than one type. They might be grounded. They might not be aerodynamic in this weather, but they have guns that still work, and so they are using them to the best of their ability. There are city watch troops armed with crossbows that are firing at various dragons. There are a significant number of Pegatars not flying. The weather is too treacherous for them to go airborne. Some of them still attempt for short flights, but they are, in some cases, only partially armored because of the haste in which they went off to battle. In some cases, in full regalia, they might have already been on duty at the time, that are attacking these dragons. Some of them are going down. There's one in particular that is in its death throes, and there's several gnomes that are just clinging to its neck in various places, stabbing it with their steely knives as they slay the beast. There are... Thank you.
But they just can't kill the beast.
Yes.
But in this case, it looks like they're managing to do it.
I was going to ask, did they look like they're struggling? Do they look like they're handling it?
It looks like in a lot of these cases, they are holding their own. But you get the sense that this is not all of the battle. The battle for this airstrip might be won. Maybe in just a few rounds, but with that perception check, you have a sense that maybe this is a distraction.
How far from the airstrip are we?
You're on the airstrip.
Your ship.
The airship? It's on the other side of the airstrip. You decided you weren't going to take the Skyrail to the closest stop to your airship, possibly because of something to do with multiple failed Constitution saves from previous runs. So you've got the entire airstrip to go across, and it is quite long. It runs almost the entire length of the city.
I don't
and
know
in this what... weather, you can't even see it from here.
I don't know what to...
I will give you some additional information.
Are we out of combat?
No.
No.
Okay, no, just ask.
Not.
Okay.
This is Galen's turn in combat, and he's used his turn to do a perception check, so I'm filling him in on what he is seeing with his perception check.
Okay, now, that's fine.
Now, I'm letting you know this because of the natural 20. I may have planned this in advance. I may have created this from whole cloth because a natural 20 deserves some information. You will never know.
Okay.
You see something that you're not entirely sure anyone else sees. You see a gnome with golden skin and glittering gem eyes. And he's sort of blinking in and out. He's never really in one place for more than
sorry,
a second.
Sorry, you cut it for me there. Say it again. I see a gnome
You see Garl.
Okay.
You see Garl Glittergold. And he's blinking in and out. He's never in the same place for more than a split second. He's here, then he's there. And he's only doing, like, really minor things. Adjusting one guard's crossbow aim here. Moving a sword a fraction of an inch there. It's sort of...
divine intervention.
Exactly. And there's a lot of it. Any direction you look, you see him doing something. And he's mostly helping gnomes, but in a few cases, you see him helping other people too. All right, but that's your turn.
Yep.
Next up is going to be Meepo. You are technically underneath a green dragon.
I'm going to move 30 feet back away from the green dragon.
You will take an attack of opportunity.
Can I cast shield on that?
You can if it hits you, yes.
Okay, that's the plan.
Okay, so here's where I will intervene. If she provokes, I will make that dragon's attack roll a 6 from my portent roll.
So, full disclosure, I rolled a 6.
Oh, okay.
Does a 13 hit you?
Armor class 14.
Okay, so it misses.
Ha! I make another face at the dragon.
Is it wise for the 5-year-old kobold sorcerer to taunt a green dragon?
Especially when she did it a second time. She's taunted it a second time.
Yes.
Is it wise for us to take a 5-year-old kobold into the field? No.
I love
she's got more
so
lightning
much.
Bolts she can use. She doesn't care right now.
You know what? There's a chance that if it eats you, you'll survive another turn long enough to cast lightning bolt from inside its stomach.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's a shame you
or
don't
something
have,
else horrible.
It's a shame you don't have an immovable rod. Your critical role worked at wonders with that thing. In another
that
thing.
Was a great scene.
That particular item requires a lot of imagination, but in the proper hands, oh my lord.
I want to say that was an ancient black they did that
it was
on?
A black. I only recently watched part of that episode, and only because Chris Perkins was doing a Q&A, and they asked if he would ever be willing to be a guest on Critical Role, and he said, I actually was, this episode.
Yes.
So I was like, well, I'm going to watch that now.
I want to say it was horrible.
He played an old, one-eyed,
Shale.
One-armed, flying purple people eater. Actually,
people
no,
eater.
It was a Goliath.
It was a Goliath.
But he did play an old Goliath who was basically an old crone, and she was glorious. It not helping a whole lot. But never mind. It was fun. Okay, so Meepo, you still have an attack that you can do after your movement.
I'm going to do another level 3 lightning bolt at the dragon.
All right.
Yep. And let's see. Do I roll something first, or do I roll?
I have to roll a save. What number am I rolling?
You roll 8d6, Chen.
Yes. Okay.
And
he's got to roll a number first, right?
Right.
No. You,
well,
go
you
ahead
still
and roll
your
damage while you're doing that. I'll look it up.
Yeah, and he has it if he saves.
Okay. So first 4 dice. Somebody add this for me. 6, 3, 5, 6.
20.
Okay. Next 4 coming up. 1, 6, 1, 4.
32 total.
There we go.
It makes
and you
it
beat
save.
Me from my last one.
It makes it save. Aww.
16. So you did 32, which actually Ari's lightning bolt was 30. So you beat him.
All right.
All right.
I don't know what you did on your first one, but this one was
I don't remember.
Yeah, no worries.
20-something, I think.
Obame, you are in a situation where there is a very large green dragon that has hurt pretty much everyone in the party. Perhaps has hurt the mayor a bit more than most, because it clawed at him as well. He's taken, you don't know how many hit points he has left, but he's bloodied, literally and figuratively.
We need to give the mayor a cure wounds.
Okay.
We'll do a third level.
Okay. For some reason, the words escort mission appear in your head.
Oh, no.
25 points of healing for him.
Oh, he's feeling that. That's good.
We're also going to do a bonus action healing word, third level as well, to Ari.
Oh, yeah. I did get zapped with that. Who's the Wessets?
Yeah. I was impressed that everyone made their save for that.
Meepo was resistant to it, I think, because it's poison damage.
No, she does that.
She uses a poison spell.
She does extra
spell.
Damage. Okay, right. All right.
Yeah.
But that was the same thought I had.
Yes, I knew it was something.
You're going to get 15 points brought back to you.
All right. That takes me well away from the bloodied range. I feel happier.
My third level slots are over.
Well, maybe you won't need them anymore. Okay. Mayros.
Okay. The dragon in front of us is dead. The Battle of Britain above us. is it obvious to me from the sounds of a large dragon on the other side of the town that we would know there's another dragon over there?
If you could hear something from that far away. Actually, no. I'm going to do it this way. Give me a perception check. This will be retroactive.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm kind of like hoping I would maybe hear a large cacophony.
I would argue that you would definitely hear the lightning strikes, but this weather is creating a significant amount of white noise.
How about a 19?
So, yeah, you are aware that back the way you came, there were a few lightning strikes. You don't know if they were going up or coming down. Your assumption is they'd be coming down because that's what lightning does. But you've been around enough spellcasters that you know that's not quite always the case.
Okay. He kind of thinks to himself, I'm probably going to regret this. Galen, guys, we got to go back. There's something big over there.
Okay.
And then he's going to look at the giant. Is he engaged fighting something or spotting at things?
He looks like when it's his turn, he's going to run off to fight something else because the battle is still raging here.
That's what I'm hoping.
He looks down and says, hello, little friend.
Hey, buddy. Hey, thanks for your help. You think y'all can help us with, I think there's something else going on the other side of the town.
Oh, sure. I like helping. I just need to clear this area up first.
All right. I'm not going to engage with anything, but I'm, like I said, he's kind of kicking himself because he wanted to get the hell out of Dodge. But he's now starting to have a little bit of guilt. So he's trying to rally the guys for the others. Now, Ponk would have been out of here. You guys would have been out of luck. But
Ponk would have been like, okay, so that's great. You guys keep the green dragon busy.
I'm leaving.
I'll go warm up. I'm going to go warm up the airship.
Do what you want to the rest of the party, but leave me alone.
Exactly. he says, when you guys get there, the hot cocoa will be ready. So he is just going to just try to rally. If I can use my inspiration to help. I don't know if that does anything. Bark inspiration. But that doesn't really mean like, hey, come help me.
this is not a case where the bardic inspiration would really do anything unless you were.
Okay.
Now, is there anyone who disagrees with Maros at this point? Because if you needed to do a persuasion roll for something, then you could use the inspiration. But
I'll save it then. I just wasn't sure.
Yeah. You might need it, but I'm sorry. You heard nothing. You heard nothing.
Worry about it when we get there.
Everything is fine. There's no additional encounters this evening that you will have to worry about, so far as you know. By the way, Ari, what would you like to do?
All right. I think we are going to do... The dragon looks pretty beat up at this point, yes?
It has seen better days. One could even argue that it's bloodied, but maybe only just barely.
Who is over here with me and this dragon? Is it me, Obame, and Meepo?
You, Obame, mm-hmm. Meepo, Mayor Keltander, and two guards that are really wishing they'd been put at this post at a different time of day.
All right. Has the dragon... has the advantage been lost on the dragon? Did somebody attack it? Mayor Keltander attacked
it? Yes.
Okay, so the advantage thing is gone. All right. So I think we're going to have to use what we do when when anything's near its dying point, and we're going to try the acid arrow because we'll see if it goes the second round.
Yes, because I don't think we've ever seen this acid arrow do damage on the following round like it's supposed to, because there's nothing right. alive for that.
Exactly. So we're going to give it the old kiss of death, as it were. I have to make an attack roll against the dragon. So let's see. That is a 15 on the die plus 8 for 23. Hit it. All right. So do I invoke Satan before I roll damage? I have not used him again. His charges reset because we rested. That's right.
No.
So why not?
No, his charges reset at dawn.
Oh, okay. So he has
two charges left.
Okay. You know what? Then we'll hold off on that because okay. I did long rest and it reset his charges.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's the only problem with that. That's a different mechanic, and I'm not sure how. I don't think that's built into D&D Beyond, which means that if Vex was here, his bag of tricks would also reset when you press long rest. Well, it's not supposed to.
Right. Then we won't invoke him because we may need him later. All right, so 1, 2, 3, 3, and...
You feel a sense of disappointment.
what do I have to roll here? Hold on. Wrong thing. 4d4. All right, so, because I'm not using Satan, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 points of acid damage.
A mighty 9.
Yep. There'll be more next round. I only used a second level slot, so...
Okay. And next up is going to be Agum. Agum, there is nothing within reach of you that you can kill that isn't technically an ally.
Yeah, so we're going to want to follow Maris.
Okay, so Agum is agreeing, hey, let's go. We're not running away from this battle. We're running towards a different battle. That's over there.
That's correct.
You just can't see it from here.
Like I said, he's probably going to regret it.
All right. Well, it is time for the mayor to give an attack. He pulls his sword from his back.
Now, I would like to, since I've just had my turn, I can use another reaction. I'm going to give him a 16, my other portent roll.
Oh, that will make this a hit. I won't even roll the die.
That's what I was hoping for.
I don't want to know that it was something else. I should not have to roll it because I want to know. Yeah, 16 is better than what I rolled.
Okay.
it would have been bad if that was not 20. Like, yes, I am going to strike it. Why was that worse? Sorry.
It rarely is worse.
That was my fault. Law of averages would mean it would rarely be worse because 16 is higher than average. Yep. That's a definite hit. So let's see what kind of damage the mayor is doing with this magical blade of his.
Yes. That's what I'm slightly curious about, too. Why does Granny Annie want to have this?
All right. Well, what's your passive perception?
Me? Ari's is actually not bad. Based, 14. Now,
okay. Yeah, it's sight-based, but that doesn't matter because you're not rolling.
Right. When it's passive, I'm not rolling.
Okay. So you don't think this sword should be able to, like, there's a certain amount of air resistance that exists. Mm. And when you have a large enough weapon, you can try to make it more aerodynamic, but there's still a certain amount of speed that you can go. You've got to work your way up to a momentum. And you suspect that this is moving a bit faster than it should be able to, all things considered.
Interesting effects.
Yes. But that's what you're going to notice with that level of passive perception.
Okay.
All right, so that is a hack and slash moment right there. And for his second trick, he misses.
Aw.
Yeah,
I can only do that once.
I feel disappointed also. It would have been fun to see him take the thing's head off, but no. However, one guard still misses wildly. A crossbow bolt narrowly misses Ari's ear.
What is wrong with these guards?
And here the bullets
it's
go.
It's my feet. First day! The other one hits again.
It died, didn't it?
So this very low-level guard has just killed a green dragon by shooting it in the back of the head with a crossbow bolt.
And once again, Ari's spell fails to reach the second round.
Oh, no!
I don't know if that spell is cursed or not. But
I gave a fair warning.
Okay.
I'm delivering the acid arrow. You're going to die.
Oh, my God. This
you have
low
6
level,
seconds.
Like, next time
your,
you see this guard.
Gods.
Next time you see this guard, it's going to be like level 5 from the experience points he just mopped up from this battle. He was very much out-leveled.
Oh, wow.
Even with it being split between all of the other players. All right, so at this point, so far as you know, you are out of combat, and we've been playing for about an hour. Shall we take a 5-minute break?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, let's take a 5-minute break. Let me press some buttons.
You are listening to Words of Jen, where I read to you one piece of my writing in each and every episode. BookofJen.net.
All right, we're back.
Yay.
Okay, so you are, so far as you know, out of combat. Mm-hmm. And there is combat still raging on the landing strip, but you think it might be settling down, especially because there does happen to be a cloud giant assisting with said combat on the landing strip, and there are a variety of races working together in tandem to take down the various dragons that are on here. Over in front of the City Watch building, you also feel in a similar situation, although you don't see combat raging around you. You just see a somewhat largish dead green dragon, which for some of you is a sight to behold that you may wish to study at some point, provided you have the time and opportunity to do so. What would you like to do?
Ari is going to move up or get close to the mayor again. I'm not sure how far away he was.
At this point, I'm going to say you're all like right next to the green dragon because you're
right
still
next to
it,
okay.
Making sure it's staying down.
Right. Mayor, Lord Keltander, I don't know what the cause of all this is. I suspect the air focus that has been located or is now being used by a common enemy at this point and may have summoned these dragons somehow. I'm not sure exactly how. At nothing else, I think she may be affecting the weather. The dragons may be secondary. I'm not sure how they got here. I don't know enough to go on right now, but something is definitely causing this. And if we can get a hold of that air focus somehow, maybe we can at least stop the weather changes. But to do so, we need your sword.
You can tell because of your robe of eyes and your sufficient passive perception that his grip on the sword, which he has not sheathed yet, just gets tighter.
Yeah.
And he says, that's not going to happen.
I understand. At this point, then, at least, what else can we do to help at this point? We're not going to get the focus from her without your sword. I won't fight you for it. That said, if this gets worse, the only solution I can have to offer you is you hand me your sword, and I can then try to deal with the lady who has the focus who may be causing the problems.
He uses the sword to poke at the dead dragon a little bit and says, "This one isn't that old. It would usually be smart enough to not fly this deep into the city to attack."
Okay. Dragons are not common on our world.
We've fought them a bunch of times. Several of our defenses are actually geared against dragons in particular. They usually don't get past our towers in particular.
Which means I think they were summoned in here, or your island was brought here through through a dimensional barrier breach or whatever. And I don't know that these dragons are coming through that as well. There, as you can see, there's a number of them. I don't know any magic.
You can't see that. You only saw one.
Oh, we only saw one?
Yeah, mm-hmm. As far as you know, that's the only dragon. Because everyone else, the people who went to the airship have seen many. But you've only seen the one.
We have only seen this one. Okay, right. So reverse that. I don't know that the focus could summon such a beast here. But I am fairly sure that it is causing the weather damage. Is there anything else we can do to help at this point?
That's a very good question. It is, based on my investigation check, I'd argue that this dragon was a distraction.
Okay.
For what? A distraction for what?
Who could have the power to use a dragon as a distraction?
In my experience, bigger dragons. Switch over to the landing ship party. What would you like to be doing right now?
I think we're running over to meet the other guys, aren't we?
Okay. Now, you are having a wonderful time of difficult terrain. Would you like
Thanks to snow and ice.
Oh, yes. This entire city is difficult terrain at this point. Would you like to take the sky chair to speed things up?
Sure.
Okay, everyone taking the sky chair, you know what you got to give me. Two constitution saves. You do have a paladin with you, so you do get the bonus.
Plus 5 bonus, yeah.
And with this weather, I'm going to argue that your target number is not 10 as it was before. I'm going to say it's 15.
I rolled but yes, 2 17s. Plus 5.
16.
I'm not even going to say.
So is there anyone who gets below 15 for either of their rolls?
No.
Nope.
Mine like over 20 is what I'm going to say.
No.
Okay. Now, Galen, I'm going to ask you to also give me a dexterity save. This is separate from what I asked you to do earlier.
16.
Huh.
Plus, wait, no, more because 21 because paladin.
Okay. So there is a lurch. Again, this might be localized. You personally don't know. Your world is moving, however. It appears to be upside down briefly. And the rest of the party, what you see as you are going around a sharp turn is something hits Galen and he's not there anymore. So, that's fun.
What?
I love this game so much. All right, but you get back to the City Watch building. As you're going over, you do see some signs of combat in the city. You do notice what appears to be almost a phalanx of gnomes in armor wielding glowing weapons just beating down on a green dragon in a spectacular way where you imagine one of them might be yelling Sparta. You think you might see Luminous at the head of the line, but you're not sure. And everyone who's still on the sky rail, give me a perception check.
15.
Eggum got a 7.
And Fenix.
1.
Okay. Fenix is looking over the side to see where Galen went. That's how we're going to explain this. It's not that you are... It's not that you're being imperceptive. It's that you're looking after one of your allies.
I appreciate you.
However, Mayros, I think you got the highest roll, right? Did you get a? I think you said you got a 15.
Yes.
Okay. You see, there are some structures that are off in the distance, and you think you see something large and skeletal. It reminds you of, actually, no, you wouldn't have been there to see it, but you see something large and skeletal descending off in the distance where there's some structures where, now you have walked through the labor quarter. And you've seen some buildings that were perhaps not well maintained. They might have been hovel adjacent, so far as how well they've been kept up over the years. These towers that you see this thing descending on look to be a little bit less well maintained. Perhaps inertia is the main reason why they are upright. But something big went over that way.
Where's our friend, the giant?
He said he was going to wrap things up on the airstrip before he came over to help you.
Okay.
And then he went through his crowbar and went off humming a merry tune.
Okay. Hey, guys, look over there.
Everyone looks. They don't see anything.
Something you big just landed.
Yeah. You saw it coming down. At this point, it's below what would be considered the horizon, so you can't see it anymore. But you're certain you saw something.
Okay.
All
right.
There's
a woman on the wing in colonial garb. So.
There's something there on the wing. Roll for Shatner.
Mine was actually from Bridesmaids. So.
I've never seen that movie. All right. So you do meet up with the rest of the party where, as they're arguing about what to do with Mayor Kiltander's sword, and he's insisting that the only way he's going to allow his sword to be put into possession of this disembodied voice is by stabbing it through the heart for what it's done to the city already.
Hey guys.
People are not entirely against, but the question is, how do you manage that?
Right. Hey guys, when we were on our way over here, I saw something kind of land. It looked kind of skeletal. I ain't seen nothing like that. Ain't mean anything to you?
Can I make an arcana check? See if you can guess
you can.
Based on that description?
You can.
All right. Well, I rolled an 8. That's going to go to 18. No, I'm sorry, 19 plus 11 now. So I don't know if that'll be enough. Skeletal and flying, you said?
Yeah, I just saw it at a real quick glance. Oh, by the way, there was another dragon.
Wait. Oh, there were two?
Yeah. There was one over at the airstrip, but we took care of it. We got a friend who's a, well, maybe not a friend. He's a giant, and he's on his way over.
Okay.
I'll look to the mayor. a friend, yes, of yours?
Yes, we do have a cloud giant as one of our citizens.
Okay. Then Ari is no longer worried. so another wait. So you fought a dragon, and then the skeletal thing was there?
No. When we was on our ride over here, that's when we seen it. The skeletal thing coming down.
Okay. Where did you see it?
Where did I see it?
You saw it going down amongst some buildings.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to tell you north, south, east, or west because those directions don't really matter in a city that can change its direction.
Right.
But you saw it from closer to the front of the city, let's put it that way, an area that looked like it was mostly ruins.
So I don't know if it's urban renewal or something, gentrification or something, but something's coming.
What's a gentrification?
It's a big word I heard some hipster guy use. I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention.
What's a hipster?
Oh, you don't want to meet them. They're worse than orcs.
Oh.
They were worse than orcs before orcs were bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So one of the gnome guards says, "Why would anything land over there? That area has been abandoned since forever."
Well, my friend, I have no idea. All I know is something's coming.
I mean, we used to use that back in the day for rocket testing, but there wouldn't be anything useful
so there. There might be something flammable there, then?
No, that was all cleared out ages ago, but... Oh no.
Oh, yes. Uh-oh. Please, elaborate.
Well...
Is that where you keep the gear grinder special?
Please tell me yes!
You don't want to know what that is, trust me.
I have no idea what that is. What I can tell you is if you have a flying city that is quite large and has an impressive skyline and you want to steer it, a good place to do that would be from the front of the city. Now, we automated it a bit more and we tend to use crystal balls for the most part, but there is an auxiliary way to steer the city that my assumption was is that it's been shut down, but if whatever force that sent these dragons is trying to take control of that area, they might be there to try to take control of the entire city. We need to go now.
Yeah.
And let's on go. That note, as he's saying, we need to go now. His word "now" is sort of cut off mid-syllable, and he sort of tenses up a bit. And he sort of collapses in a heap. Again, he's been having really bad luck tonight.
Yeah.
Somebody grab the sword.
I was not going to hesitate.
What happened?
You ain't using it.
So what you see is a bird-like creature. Not an Arakocra. You met an Arakocra.
Yeah.
They look quite majestic. Is a good way to describe it. They are kind of regal in their stance. It's probably because of how fragile they are, the way they walk smoothly and gently without trying to like bump into things that would break their spindly little arms and legs. But this is a much shorter, squatter creature, covered in feathers, does have a beak, but you don't think it's particularly aerodynamic. And you see it briefly as it goes off into the storm, and the mayor is down on the ground with a crossbow bolt firmly lodged in his back.
I will cast a minor healing, whatever I got.
I will grab the sword, assuming he dropped it.
Yeah. Here, let us help you out there, Mr. Mayor.
So, Ari, I want you to give me a strength check if you want this sword.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably not going to work very
well. At disadvantage, because the part you can grab is the pointy part.
Disadvantage, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, this is probably going
to go. Forgo the disadvantage if you are willing to take damage from the sword.
You know what? I am, because I have quite a number of hit points at this point.
All right.
So, it is more important that right now that he grabs a hold of that. So, I will take a chance for the damage. And
you take 8 points of damage.
All right. So
oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. There's a bonus. You take 15 points of damage.
Okay. So that's about what Obame healed me for. 15. There we go. All right. I rolled a 15, which goes to a 15. Because I have no strength bonus.
Okay. You take those 15 points of damage, and you are able to lubricate the sword with your blood a little bit, but it does not move out of Keltander's death grip. I rolled a disadvantage for him, and he rolled well.
Yeah, well, he's probably a big, strong Pegatar.
Yes, he is, and he was captain of the guard, which means he's got some levels of fighter in him.
I'm sure.
So, Mayrus, you said you were casting a healing spell on him?
Yeah, I'm going to do cure wounds. I'm going to just put my hand on his shoulder and be like, just lay down, Mr. Mayor. Really, we just relax. We got this.
How many points?
Well, it's first level, so it's 1d8 plus 2. So that is 7 points.
Okay, so the mayor is now at 7 points.
For
the record, this bird-like creature rolled a nat 20 with a sneak attack.
Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I like your style.
No, crit on sneak attack damage is usually fatal.
I know.
Yeah. Well, if you hadn't cast healing immediately, there would have been a death save involved.
Yeah.
So we could have just waited for him to die, then take the sword.
This okay. is true, but that might have taken a while. Next story style. He would have, if he didn't, he would have healed after we got the sword away.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
The mayor reverses the sword and uses it to sort of like prop himself up a bit and start getting to his feet. And he's like,
"What is that?
We're going to talk about this later."
Well, he'll point at the flying creature.
You don't
what
see
is
a
that?
Flying creature.
Oh, I didn't see a flying creature.
No, you didn't.
Who did?
You saw
I was
a bird-like
focused
creature.
On something else.
You saw a bird-like creature, but you didn't think it was aerodynamic. It was much lower to the ground.
Oh, right.
Much it's lower the kind to the ground. You so... think you've heard... You've heard it referred to as a Kenku.
Oh, okay. I had not run into one of those before.
Luminous pointed it out on the Skyrail ride, but you're looking at it from a distance.
Gotcha.
All right, so the mayor is understandably perhaps a little upset that your best idea to help him up would be to try to cut your fingers off with his sword. Which is perhaps not the best choice for someone who their main method of attack is to use spells that have components that involve gestures.
Yeah. No worries.
You might have a Doctor Strange moment in the future.
Right.
Hey, just relax. Tony Iommi lost part of a finger and he played guitar for years.
And some would argue that his guitar playing was magical, but that's not quite the same thing.
Right.
Okay. And I also know there are one-handed drummers out there, but let's
mm-hmm,
move on.
Yeah.
The mayor's
Let's get over to that other side of the city, because at this point, if this continues, who knows what's going to happen to all of us.
The mayor points at one of the guards and says, "You, lead them there. I'm going to grab some healing potions. I'll be with you shortly with reinforcements."
Very well.
Okay. And we are going to speed ahead for the sake of the fact that it's 9:18. And say that you are able to navigate the streets to get to this area. There's no Skyrail ride that will take you here. There is, but it would take you away and back again. So it's much easier to go right there. The area on the map, if you want to look at the map I shared a while back, would be Area 37, the abandoned launch pads. And there's some low buildings around the launch pads. There's some areas that are cleared off and look like they're reinforced. But for the most part, it's a large empty space. And as you get there, you don't see anything out of the ordinary except for the weather. The gnome guard looks over at Maros and says, this is it. Right? This is where you saw it land?
Hey, man, I was riding the sky whale thing. Man, this is where I think it came down.
Well, it's not here.
All right. I guess it left. I don't know, man.
I mean, how big was it? Was it bigger or smaller than a bread box?
How big was it?
What's a bread box?
It's a box you put bread in.
Okay.
I mean, I guess from the description you gave me, I mean, was it?
You would
I'm assuming bigger.
It as, in game terms, you would say it is huge.
Okay, man, it was ginormous.
Did it maybe go under the city? I know there's under.
It's true, man. Well, I mean, this thing's flying.
That's a possibility, but if it got to the edge of the city, it would be in range of our towers, which could easily knock it out. The weather. Yeah, they might not be able to see it. Well, let's get back to the mayor, because if we're doing a wild Abracoca chase, it's not gonna be something that's good for anyone. So let's head back. And as he's saying this, a giant mouth comes down.
Oh no!
I told you it was there.
He does manage to finish the sentence.
I'm picturing the lawyer in Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
it is mostly it's similar. It is similar to that. This giant skeletal dragon head comes down, bites him in half, and then flicks its head to the side, and he goes over the side, which is quite a distance away, actually. And it turns its head to look back at you.
Uh-oh.
And you shouldn't be able to hear a growl. There's no soft matter on this thing,
right,
that could create a growl.
And I speak Draconic, so.
So do I.
Well,
I definitely don't.
Time for an Arcana check to find out what the heck that is. Although Ari probably has no idea.
Well, the body language of this thing. Oh, yes. Thank you, Eric, for that imagery. That was nice. Except in this case, this was not that particular moment from that horrible but also well-done movie. Because it was not a rallying speech. It was a let's get out of... Actually, no, he was saying let's get out of here.
So no, he was like, wow.
We are leaving.
It was a rallying speech saying we're going to get out of here, and the first thing we're going to do is seal off this entrance, and then... Whoomp.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that Deep Blue was the name of the movie?
Deep Blue Sea.
Yes.
I think it had LL Cool J in it.
Yeah, I don't remember
any of that.
Spoilers, when I watched that movie with my family, I was like, well, I see a pet, and we know at least the pet will survive, because that parrot, you know, pets are immortal in any monster movie. And my aunt said, well, just watch.
Uh-oh.
Spoiler. Let's take a moment to put this on pause.
Okay.
And move over to Galen. Galen.
Yes.
You don't necessarily know what hit you for sure. Give me a dex save.
Another one.
Well, this is... One was to avoid something, and this is to see how much damage you take.
And obviously, I don't have Fenix anymore.
You do not have Fenix. He is long gone.
So, 13.
Okay.
Like a beacon.
A 13 is not going to do it. You took 10 points of damage from falling.
Okay.
It was a decent height. The snow cushioned your fall a little bit. It would have been a lot worse. I would have rolled more d6s if it wasn't for the snow. All right, okay. But you come to. You're pretty sure you blacked out, but you're not entirely sure. You come to face down in the snow and slush.
Okay.
What do you do?
I look around.
Okay, you see a lot of snow falling and a bunch of buildings that are dark. And there are streetlights. You can see the streetlights, but the streetlights are also dark.
So only
your dark vision is allowing you to see what's around you right now.
Does it look like I'm still on the ship, on the skyship?
Oh yeah, you're pretty sure you're still in the city. You if you look up, you see the sky rail above you, but there's no cars going past right now.
Okay, I have no clue where I am.
Give me an investigation check.
22.
You're fairly certain you know the general area of the city that you're in. I mean, you don't have a street map memorized, but you're fairly certain that you'd be able to, especially if you use the sky rail as a guideline, you'd be able to follow that to get to either the airstrip or the city watchtower. If you'd rolled a 15 or lower, I would have argued that you weren't entirely sure which way to follow the sky rail, but you think you know which way is which.
Right. And we were heading to...
You were heading to the City Watch building.
I will try and make my way there.
Okay. As you get up and brush the snow off of you, you hear a voice coming from an alley. Poor little gnome. No airship. No friends. No time. And stepping out of the alley, you see a hooded draconic figure. And she pulls out a very wicked-looking serrated dagger that gleams in light that isn't there. And Thava says, what a wonderful present I've been given. And that's where we're going to end it tonight.
Oh, wow.
Every single...
We're going to be kicking butt next game.
All right. Thank you for playing this fantastic game with me this evening. I have been joined by some incredible people, including but not limited to, and my whole setup is different right now. So forgive me if I repeat anything. We have Eric. Eric, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter as at SYNRGY007, or you can find me at vote2kick.com.
We also have Matt, who you can find here.
And that's it.
We also have Logan, who you can find here. And he's quiet. That's okay. And we also have Chris. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Akari_Mag. Or you can find me on my podcast, which is Azeroth Coast to Coast. New episode was out today, and it'll be up on azerothctc.com.
We also have Jen. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitch as Queen of Haiku, all one word. Mostly playing Diablo 3, once in a while something else. And my website is Book of Jen at bookofjen.net. It's got a bunch of gaming stuff, a bunch of other stuff, and two podcasts.
And last but certainly not least, we also have Tom. Where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Bolthra, that's BOLTHRA. I'm in the process of writing a second book, but Battle for Azeroth is coming out, and I'm sure the book writing will be delayed.
Everything will be delayed.
You can spend all of your time writing the book while it's patching. and then the game will go down, the servers will go down because of a flaw they didn't realize existed, which only showed up when the patch went live. So it'll go down again, they'll patch again. And then you've got
to me, this is just stress. This is just stress testing before the real live. Blizzard is smart; they do it right in the end.
I was going to say Legion launched and it was flawless.
Yeah.
It's all good. I'm not coming back to it for this expansion, so far as I know. But I'm looking forward to when they eventually let you have cross faction play. So I can play with my friends again, because I cannot play Horde without filling myself with self-loathing.
Ugh.
It's like, well, I'm just going to go through and do these quests to level up, and let's go to this quest giver. What do they want me to do? Poison a bunch of orphans.
It was just that one time. Let it go.
I was young and I needed the experience, but no.
Wait, I'm assuming you're talking about Stone Talon.
I don't remember anymore, but there were multiple quests. Actually, no, it wasn't Stone Talon. It was something else. And I don't even think it's one of the... I think it's an older quest, to be honest, but that's neither here nor there. We're not turning this into a Warcraft podcast. So tune in next week when bad things will happen some more. Goodbye, everybody.